Hi, I'm Becky Sue Epstein. I travel and research about wine and spirits all over the world and bring back the information for you. Look for me online, BeckySueEpstein.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
It has been a while since we have had the pleasure of connecting with Becky Sue Epstein, contributor to iWine Radio, and she is talking to us today from Barcelona. She has been visiting in Portugal and Spain to learn about the, is it Diam or Diam Company's wine closures. Becky Sue, how do you pronounce it, the name of the company?
Well, in Europe it's Diam, and in America it's probably Diam, but we can call it Diam and feel international.
Okay.
D-I-A-M.
And is it a Spanish company?
Well, it is. Actually, they have bases in Spain and in France. And I think their headquarters are actually in France, where we just drove down from, just about 2 hours north of Barcelona.
Okay, so that's why we pronounce Diam. Okay, so talk to us about these wine closures that you're researching.
Okay, first of all, a wine closure is the thing that closes up the bottle of the wine.
Okay.
It could be a screw cap, it could be a cork, it could be whatever. So they're all just called closures. And I don't know if most people have really kept track, but about 10, 15 years ago, all of a sudden we were getting a ton of bottles of wine that were corked, that were bad because of bad corks. And part of it, we were talking about that today, part of it is because there was just a huge explosion in production and people were getting corks that, you know, maybe from questionable sources that weren't so well done. And they also didn't really understand this stuff called TCA, which contaminates cork, and it's in the soil. So, I mean, they didn't really understand that they could clean, that they should clean their corks. Cork is the bark of a cork oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to clean them, but they steam cleaned them, but that still, you know, it left them open because cork is very porous. So if there was TCA already in a winery, it could get into the cork.
Okay.
And then could get into the wine. So it took a while to understand this, and it took until roughly the year 2000 to actually have a test for this, because no one had ever tried this. I mean, it seems like something they would have figured out 200 years ago, but there weren't that many people drinking wine, and there weren't that many people drinking expensive wines, and a certain amount of spoilage was kind of expected. So it came to a head, you know, in the 2000s. And now there are about 18 billion bottles of wine made annually. Mm. And that's a lot. And the people that make the wines, that produce the wines, have been madly trying to scramble to get a guarantee of having a good wine, having someone bring their wine home and having it taste good.
Right.
Because they've tried screw caps and those plastic corks that are almost impossible to get your corkscrew through, and you can't put them back in. And, you know, they've tried everything, and they've tried cleaning regular corks, punched out corks from a cork thing. And finally, this one company that was making regular corks, they just said, you know, we can't have people having up to 10% of their wine spoiled. Sometimes they're just mildly spoiled so that we wouldn't know. We would just think, oh, I really don't like that wine.
Yeah.
So, if it's really heavily spoiled, it smells like old socks and old cardboard in the basement. And, I mean, you can really tell. But if it's just a little bit, maybe if it's got TBA or something on it, it just tastes flat. So they were just losing a lot of business. And so money talks, of course, so they decided they had to do something about it. And this company, various people left and bought and this and then, you know, it's all a conglomerate and part of them make barrels and things. But this company that I was traveling with, several journalists, is something I really didn't know much about until I got here. Well, what they've decided to do, I've also traveled with Amarim, you know, to see how corks are made out of bark. But this company, Diam, they take cork, they harvest themselves, and we went to a very large finca, which is a ranch or a farm, which is like 500 hectares of cork trees.
Wow.
So, I mean, as far as you can see, there were cork trees. And they have to wait till the cork trees are, you know, 27, 30 years old, till they can harvest them the first time. Then they can harvest them, the bark, every 9 years, 9 to 13 years, depending on the growth cycles.
Okay.
So it takes a lot of trees. Once they get these corks in, what they do here at this company is They clean them and they pulverize them into little granules.
Wow.
And because they really, really want to get out, they want to be able to get out everything that's in the cork that's nasty and could spoil. And they can't do it because the cork has these kind of long cells that anything can stay in. So they need to get into granules. And then they clean it with something like supercritical CO2. Doesn't it sound space age? Which actually is apparently something that is used in other cleaning processes, and it's neutral, and it's literally compressed CO2.
Now, how
it's a gas that acts like a liquid at a certain pressure, a certain number of atmospheres, and a certain temperature. It's not super hot. It's not super cold.
So the gas goes in all the cells, even as granules, or does the gas kill the bacteria that creates the TCA as a byproduct?
Well, what happens is the gas goes into all the in and around all these granules, and then they recover it. And when they recover it, then that's how they clean the cork. And once they recover it, they also can extract some other more positive elements they've just discovered, not just the TCA, which they get rid of, but other things that can look like they may be starting to be able to use in the cosmetics industry. So
really?
We'll see what happens with that. Yeah. So then when they have this cleaned cork, they put a polyethylene binder into it. And so when you look at it through the microscope, you see a little, in a piece of granules of cork filled with little microspheres of polymer. It's an acrylic polymer. I think it's produced in Sweden. And it's inert and, you know, doesn't taste or fall apart or get into anything. It's basically just like gluing something, but in a special way. So then they mold them, the corks, whether they're for still wines or they do a lot of work with champagne as well.
Really?
They put different coatings, paraffin, silicone, or both on them. So you can not only get the cork out, but you can put the cork back in because everyone wants to do that.
Right.
And they've also experimented. Their big thing is making sure that the cork retains its elasticity, because the cork can retain its elasticity even though the, you know, you've got a lot of composite cork. It looks like little granules if you look carefully, but you don't really see that because it's so fine. But if the cork isn't really, really elastic, it won't push back against the walls of the bottle.
Right.
So keeping it elastic makes sure that nothing can get in around the edges of the bottle.
Okay.
And they've also, they laser burn on your logos, and they laser burn and designs to make it look more cork-like. But so now you're probably wondering, I know that wines need to breathe. So if you've got this cork stuck in there and, you know, nothing's getting in around it, how do they do that? How do they let wine breathe and age? Well, they do let wine breathe and age because they have different permeability rates that they can design into this cork.
Okay. Wow.
So they, you know, and you can request, a winemaker can request different lengths and different permeabilities, depending on how long they want their wine to age, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
So that's what I've learned about cork this year.
My gosh. You've done a fantastic summary for us. And listening to you, what's occurred to me is, where I live at the local community college, Manufacturing Alliance is trying to promote these composite jobs or degrees where people go get a 2-year degree in composites. This sounds like a cool sort of a company to be working for.
Well, they're building a new plant in Serret, S-C-E-R-E-T, in the south of France, starting in September, and it'll be online in a year, so if people want to go over and look for a job there, there may be one.
Wow, and a lot of research, a lot of R&D this is going on here.
Yeah, they basically are in R&D format at all times. You know, they have permeability meters and just everything because it's all new. It amazes me that it wasn't until now that people thought of this. We've been putting corks in line for, 300 years? And all of a sudden, it's an issue.
This is really good to hear because when I used to do regular tastings and I needed a good chunk of bottles, it is no joke that no less than 10% of wine. And so that could also mean, you know, like one, at least guarantee one in a case of wine is corked. And I just, it's horrible. I didn't want to be working with corked wines for quite some time.
Well, now that Amrum cleans them and more people clean their corks, the rate's gone down to maybe 3%. But still, that is something. And, you know, if you have your special bottle of wine and you've bought an older bottle for or a more expensive bottle for a particular celebration, you don't want to come home and say, that's it.
So Amarin is the parent company over Diam?
No. Amarin is a completely separate company. They only make what they call punch corks. Then they're just full size through the bark.
Okay.
And Diam is probably their competitor.
Got it.
And Diam now have partners in all different countries in the world,
okay.
in, even the U.S., China, everywhere, because people want reliability.
Oh,
they
definitely.
Want consistency.
Oh, definitely. And I would think that they're probably the application goes beyond wine as well. Well, Becky Sue Epstein, we thank you so very much. It's glorious to talk to you again.
Thanks, Lynn. See you later.
Safe travel.
Thanks. Bye.
We will have links up for you to learn more, and I would imagine she's doing the research for a column that she's going to be, posting online. And as soon as she gets that up, we'll provide that to you as well. We thank you for listening to Wine and Dine. iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iwineradio.com.